Hi, I'm Joe Trura, and I'm about to have a productive conversation with one and only Mark Vardy.
Welcome to A Productive Conversation. I'm Mike Vardy, and I'm joined by Joe Trura, who I've had a few conversations with over the years, but to be able to have him on the program today is just, it's a real treat for me. Now, Joe is an entrepreneur, he's an inventor, and an investor philanthropist. He founded and bootstrapped two companies, Launch Digital Marketing and Dealer Inspire, that both became two of the fastest growing companies in America, earning the number 39 spot on the Inc. 500 and number 5 ranking on Crain's Chicago Fast 50. Joe's passion is using his leadership and health and fitness experiences to help others achieve their goals, which led him to start his podcast, Not Almost There, in January of 2021. I've had the pleasure of speaking with Joe on that podcast. You're going to learn more about Not Almost There, as well as a lot more about Joe during our productive conversation today. So let's get to it. Here's my productive conversation with Joe Trura. Enjoy. Love it when an intro gets just its own little spice. Joe, thanks for taking the time to join me today.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I'm excited to have the one and only Joe Trura on the show today. This has been a long time coming. As you are listening to this right now, we are 6 months approximately in the past. So we're really far ahead. We're going to get to some conversations about podcasting because you have a podcast yourself, right?
Not Almost There. Yes, I do.
And that's
what it's called. Not Almost There. Just to be clear. Yeah.
Yeah. So his podcast is actually not happening yet as we talk about now, because it's Not Almost There. Actually, I want to get into the meaning behind that, because you hear about, when I first heard the name Not Almost There, the first thing that came to mind was presence, was like this idea of presence. And it actually made me think about the importance of presence. It's kind of like when I was doing, and I know this is not the way that you do it, but when I was doing productivity parody earlier on, when I was doing like the eventualism shtick, where it was like, I'm being like a Stephen Colbert type productivity expert preaching against productivity, but by doing it was actually showing, oh, that's stupid. We should be totally doing what he's saying, like what he's saying against, like what he's professing against. When I heard that phrase, and when I first saw it with Not Almost There, I'm like, this is, to me, it was about being present, but I don't think that's, is that what it's about? Is there, what's to it? And where did it come from?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I do think it has an element of presence and has an element of betterment. I mean, there's a million things you can think of, but how it derived was from the 2015 Chicago Marathon I did. And what happened, Mike, was I had trained for this marathon. I had never done anything close to it before. I had struggled with health and weight and a lot of issues. I have had a lot of ailments in my 20s and then 30s, and decided to do this marathon. And the first 12 to 13 miles or so of the marathon, I was just loving it. I had this runner's high. I was super present. The energy of the Chicago crowd was just incredible. And I remember thinking to myself, like, this is a marathon. I could do two of these. And a mile, right when I crossed mile 13-ish, this guy is holding up this sign. And I remember where it was. It was right outside the Loop of Chicago, if anyone knows the area. That's the business district. And he's holding this sign, and it says, Not Almost There. And I look at the sign, and immediately my body manifested what my brain was thinking. And that was simply, he's right. I'm not almost there. I'm only halfway through this. And Mike, what happened is my energy turned into struggle, and every step became more difficult. I started to manifest these issues. I started to get cramps. I started to have to walk. Like, all this physical stuff started happening. And I ended up finishing the race, but it was a struggle. And I'll never forget that sign. It always stuck with me. And it really has to do with how the mind plays such a vital and important part in the body. So I became infatuated with that. And in thinking about life, now we're not almost there. Like, and the other thing that happened is 2018, I sold a couple of companies. It ended up being a big acquisition in Chicago. And I thought I'd be happier after the fact.
Right.
I thought like that would define me as a success. And what happened is, you know, a week after that happened, I was like, is this it? And it's not, it wasn't a bad thing. It was just a thing that I realized that once you climb to a mountain, it's great to get the view, but you realize it's the journey that is the best part of it. So I looked at both of those things in my life as really important moments. And when I thought about talking about the story and having people on, like you have many guests on that hopefully improve productivity for people, of course, and make their lives a little bit better. I do the same thing in my podcast. It's more, we touch on productivity. Of course, you've been a guest on there, but it covers the spectrum of mindsets, physical endurance, people that have had stories that have overcome adversity, and knowing that none of us are there. We're all not almost there.
So what's interesting about that to me isn't just it's the idea of time. Cause when I talk about productivity, and I know I get a lot of people that have this sense of what productivity is to them, right? Like and what I mean is to them, it's what they've been told, right? Like productivity is about being efficient and effective and, you know, getting as much, like all that stuff, because that's kind of what it's been. And I think the more time, it's interesting as you're talking about being in the marathon, and the more time you spend in something and dwell on it, like that sign, which as I'm sure you probably say was like just some guy being a smart ass, right? Like just
That's
being
right,
a smart,
yeah.
just being a smart
That's
ass.
Right. It was hilarious.
It was a completely innocuous moment, but you don't get to decide where those moments exist, right? And I remember as I've been studying this, I realized productivity isn't about being efficient and effective on its face. It's about something much more journey oriented, like intention and attention, right? Like those things that you will have until the day you die, you will have intentions and you will have attention. And when they're gone, that means you're gone. Like there's no more. And people get so focused on the outcome or the destination that they don't, that they speed by that stuff. Do you remember, you know, in those moments of, you talk about the marathon, like some of the sights you saw, like that during that process, do you remember seeing some of the things that happened along the way? Or was it just at that point, just, I got to get to the end. I got to get to the end. And what's changed if that was the case? Like, when I was listening to Ryan Holiday talk to Rich Roll on the podcast that he appeared on when Ryan released Courage is Calling. And I know you've had Rich on the podcast. I think Rich spoke at your event too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he did.
Right?
Yeah.
Ryan tells this story about how when he goes with his family to destinations, and Rich, I think, pulled this out of him, was like, you go to see all these monuments, right? Like you go, when you go to a city, and Ryan goes and does that thing because he realizes, and this has, I think, a lot to do with the Stoic philosophy, is it's about the things you see along the way and not the, you know, not the end, because of course, we know the end is coming. That's the only thing we do know. So have you, during that marathon, during those moments where you had these, like, I'm not almost there, and this, you know, this project of yours, this initiative, this, you know, this calling came to you. Did you see yourself going, you know, what have I missed? What did I see? Do you recall back things saying, you know, as you were trying to reach an outcome, or do you notice that way more now? And what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I love this question. So as you were asking it, I was visualizing the first half of that marathon, the first half where I was feeling great, feeling in flow, feeling present. And I vividly remember the route. I vividly remember what happened. In fact, a gentleman had a heart attack, like about 50 feet in front of me. I remember that clear as day, the street it was on. I remember turning the corner, going into Boys Town, which is a neighborhood in Chicago where there's a lot of stages and people singing and cheering you on. I remember all of that clear as day. What I don't remember is after that sign, because right, all I was doing is focusing on the ending. And consequently, that was not enjoyable. Same with when I look at my businesses. And some points, I certainly remember all of the amazing moments and milestones that we've had, but a lot of the journey was missing toward the end because I was focused on the outcome. And it's pretty interesting when you focus on the outcome, how your mind shifts to that and you ignore the things around you that are, that you find out later that are of significance.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you meditate?
I do. I don't,
I sense like I do, but like, it's not
a daily thing.
Right.
I wanted to do it daily and I feel like it's arduous at some times. Like as an example, I wanted to do the Wim Hof 30-day challenge, and Wim Hof's an amazing individual. I found the process of Wim Hof breathing day after day, a bit laborious. And that was just me. And it was just because it would take more for me to do his meditation techniques. And then I was like, you know, I'll just move to Headspace because that's, mm-hmm. that's easier. I don't have to like actively feel like I'm exercising while I'm breathing and I could just chill. But here's where I do meditate. I meditate nightly with my son. And it's just about 2 to 3 minutes at night. And what I found is that works remarkably well. He has a very, very active brain, as many young kids do. And he has a hard time shutting things down. And over the last 90 days plus, we've been doing Headspace together. We do a little nighttime meditation. And within 2 minutes, both of us are out. I end up waking up a lot in his bedroom in the middle of the night or in the morning. This is just so, it's just so great. But I'd like to start my day with more of a meditation. And it just, I got to be honest with myself, it doesn't happen as often as I would like for it to, but definitely at night, I use it as a way to wind down.
How old are your kids now? Like, and so how old are your kids? You have how many?
9, 11, and 23.
Okay.
I guess now that we're in the future though, they'll be 9, 12, and 23. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you noticed since you've adopted the not almost there kind of way of operating, let's just use that as that those moments stand out more with them as well? I mean, I know when I was working for Costco, when I was trying to make my way up, or when I was trying to even do the comedy thing, like when I was trying to, you know, which is why I stopped. Like my wife was like, look, I mean, you could go and try to make a go of this thing. You know, if you've went 100%, but you know that if you leave Victoria to go to Vancouver to do stuff like that, there was an opportunity. I don't think I've ever told this story. I got accepted to Vancouver Film School. Like I was going to be able to go to Vancouver Film School for their writing program. And the teachers of the writing program at that time were the people who created a little show called Mad Men. And they Wow. they were running it. Yeah. I think actually during the time that I was deciding and I ended up not doing it. That's when they got the deal. So then someone else took over. But my wife was like, you can go. You can live in Vancouver full time. You know, we'll split it and all that stuff. She goes, but I don't remember the particulars of the conversation, the exact words, but I do remember the tone and I do remember the mood. And it was like, but you, it was kind of like, you know, that if you go down this path, it could cause, like, we could end up, you know, we could have divergent paths, right? Like if you decide you want to go do Hollywood and do all that stuff. And it was like, it wasn't the call of that wasn't as strong as the call of being around my family. Cause at that point in time, I think I was still trying to do both the productivity thing and the acting thing. I wasn't exclusively in one or the other. No, looking back now, I'm like, man, that was a good call because, I mean, I get to see my son every day. He's now into pro wrestling. We watch pro wrestling together, which was something that I didn't think I would be able to do. But I've also learned from him along the way that he really wants to play with me all the time. He's adjusted his play things that he wants to do to my interests so that we can hang out more. And I noticed it. I've journaled it and I've paid attention. He's a smart guy. He'll still be 11. As this airs, now doing what you're doing now and with Not Almost There, have you noticed that, especially because your kids are so varied in age, the difference between what it was like
with the oldest and now what it's like with the youngest.
Are you a small business owner struggling to find the right talent for your team? I've been there and I know how challenging it can be. That's why I recommend LinkedIn Jobs. It's not just any job board. It's a community where you can find professionals who are the perfect fit for your business, many of whom aren't checking other job sites. In fact, 70% of LinkedIn users aren't visiting other leading job sites, making LinkedIn your best bet for finding top talent. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can post your job and reach qualified candidates quickly. 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate within 24 hours. And now, you can post your job for free at linkedin.com/conversation. That's right, for free. Don't miss out on finding top talent. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/conversation today. Terms and conditions apply. Starting an online business or expanding your physical storefront online has never been easier thanks to Shopify. This global commerce platform supports you at every stage of your business journey. From launching your online shop to managing a million orders, Shopify is there to simplify and accelerate your growth. It's not just about selling products. Shopify helps you manage every aspect of your business with their all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. But that's not all. Shopify helps you convert visitors into customers with the best converting checkout process on the internet, which performs up to 36% better than other platforms. And now, a special offer for my listeners. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/timecrafting, all lowercase. Whether you're just starting out or looking to scale up, Shopify is the perfect partner for your business. Managing passwords can be a real headache, right? Think about it. Every website requires a new password. Each one needs to be unique, secure, and somehow memorable. But there's a better way. Welcome to the world of 1Password, where your entire company can generate strong, unique passwords, store them securely, and access them across any device without ever needing a reset. Imagine never having to click Forgot Password again. With 1Password's award-winning design, managing passwords becomes a breeze for you and your entire team. It's trusted by millions, including top companies like IBM and Slack. Here's the best part. My listeners can try 1Password for free for 2 weeks. Right now, get your free trial at 1Password.com/productiveconvo. Secure your passwords and simplify your online security with 1Password.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's night and day, and it's pretty interesting because I know this has happened with Rich Roll, like and his kids at different ages and how they grow up is different, and it could be different from the time you give them to the economics to the environment in which they're living. And it is much different. And the situation. So my 23-year-old daughter, not to go on a tangent, but we never lived together full time. So right. it was less of a, I felt less as of a fatherly figure and more of like a really good friend that she's going to be with me every other weekend. And I'm going to mentor her and her life and help support her. Then the experience I have with my kids that are here every single day. And that wasn't, you know, that was a card, you know, that neither of us kind of choose, that we were just kind of dealt that card. And I mean, I was very young when I had her. So it was right. A completely different experience. I wasn't even able to take care of myself, let alone a kid. Right. I was like 20 years old when she was born. So we were growing up together, really. My kids now, it's much different. And what I realized, Mike, I actually took this, you know how like you YouTube scroll sometimes or you're like, and you'll pick up little snippets from people. And I don't tend to do this a lot, but when I do, I tend to land on something that resonates with me. And out of all things, what I ran across is this video from Ben Affleck talking about his divorce and the impact it had on him not to see his kids. And what he realized is it wasn't the big moments of taking them to on vacation somewhere. It was those little moments. And what I found is the best parts of my day are taking my kids to school and picking them up. And I didn't have that with my first daughter. And I never realized that was even a big thing. But it's as I get older and a little more wiser, it's really important that those little moments are there because that is what I feel makes the biggest difference, especially in fatherhood.
Did you have that with your father? Like, I know I'm right with you on that. I did not. I mean, the fact of the matter is that those moments are incredibly important, and yet you don't realize them in the moment. You reflect on them. Like, yeah. There'll be days where my daughter, who's 16, is chatting with me in the, like, in the living room, and she's just chatting about her day. And in a moment, as present as I'm trying to be, all of a sudden my brain goes back to, remember when you were walking through the hospital hallway holding her? And I'm like, holy crap, this is like a person, like a full-fledged, she's driving a car now. Like, this is, and it's just wow. And then she's like, Dad, are you, like, I get a little, like, my eye, she goes, Dad, are you okay? I'm like, oh, no, I'm fine. I was just, I didn't have that with my dad. And it's not because, I mean, he didn't have the greatest role model as a father either, but also it was a different era. Like, I mean, my kids have never known me not to be someone who is working from home for the most part, right? I mean, I've been doing this for well over a decade now, and that's what they know. Those moments, I think, and I don't know what your thoughts are, but I think those little moments, they matter more because we maybe didn't have them as much, and we didn't even think we could get them because it wasn't something that happened. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's funny. It sounds like our stories are similar, but yeah, my dad and I had a very tumultuous relationship, and that's multiple podcasts in itself, probably podcast, but yeah, the stories I remember are not the ones you'd want to remember. They're not the small, like, taking me to school, mm-hmm. things. It's more of like me trying to wake him up to take me to school.
Right. Or conversely, the moments where you go on this big trip, because those things for me, like that was part of it too. Like, you know, day to day, not a lot of time, but it was like, let's go on this big trip. But those were so few and far between. I much would have rather had those moments along the way. Right. So I think sometimes, and this is not to crap on anybody's parents or anything, because everybody's done this. I think we all struggle with this to a degree, especially when it comes to time and attention, because life is moving pretty quickly. Is to, you know, in a lot of instances, it's just like sometimes you learn what to do from someone, but sometimes you learn what not to do from someone.
Yeah, I think that's right on. And there's always things that you can glean from people, good and bad. But yeah, it was just that it was the one just little snippet that really helped me recognize the importance of those small moments.
As we make our way through our conversation here, I want to talk about having conversations, because you have many on your podcast. And I mean, you've also, I want to talk a little bit about some, like, what not almost there has become since you started it. But before we hit record, we started talking about, like, talking to people and having, like, deeper conversations. And, you know, I like to think that I try to do that more often than not when it comes to this podcast. That's why it was renamed A Productive Conversation from the Productivityist Podcast, because number one, my brand name at the time was hard to say and hard to spell. But also, it's really what I try to do. So, you know, I mentioned to you, and I mentioned earlier on in this episode, about Ryan Holiday's book, Courage is Calling, and how I've been reading it. And it's tricky for me to do that and consume all the content that I want to consume that's I think is going to be valuable, because, yes, I get a lot of books. I get a lot of stuff from other people that I have conversations with, and I want to make sure I go in deep. How has that journey for your podcast been? Because early on, it wasn't like that for me. I would be like, it would be very surface oriented. I have a tell, and we haven't gotten there yet, which is great. But it's like, so, Joe, tell me about the apps you use. If listeners have listened long enough, they go, oh, Mike ran out of questions and the conversation isn't going well. That's what that means. So now they're going to go back in the archives and see which ones didn't land as much as Mike would have liked. But that the evolution of your podcast and the evolution of the conversation, like, has it always been like, I'm going deep and, you know, that's the hill I'm going to die on every single time? Or was it initially about, let's get this out there and then let's evolve it and go deeper over time?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, first, this podcast was new for me in 2021, and this stemmed from a few things, but one of which is a conference that I had. I'd have this yearly conference called Refuel that has grown from nothing to Last year, we had 10,000 attendees, raised about $80,000 for charity. It was all virtual last year. This year will be a hybrid event. Mm-hmm. And it started off as a day to give back to my employees. My company was growing, and I wanted a day for them to have a reprieve and recharge and refuel for the upcoming year, and not concentrate on work, but focus on themselves. So I'd have this conference every year, and then there'd be a big lull. There'd be this void, and it was just like a high being on stage, and then that high would go away that next day. I'm like, hey, a good way to keep this going is by creating a podcast and creating a weekly, my initial idea is short videos. And then my first conversation was like an hour and a half long. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't. So once I had that conversation, I was like, all right, I just can't. Or it just doesn't feel authentic to me to have very short conversations, meaning right. like 10, 20 minutes. Like, it's hard to get into deep into something. Also, you mentioned Rich Roll. I really love his podcast. I love the deep conversations that he has. So I tried to do the same thing. And the only way to do that for me is to dive deep into someone's history or what they've done. And typically, like you, most people have books or publications, and you have to read them, or you have to actually have a true understanding. I find it shocking that people would have folks on that have written books and not have read at least most of the book, or at least an outline of it. Mm-hmm. And not really understand what it's about. And I don't even know where that happens. I don't tend to follow those podcasts, but what ends up happening, Mike, is you don't have time for a lot of content that you just want to use. You want to pick up a book on a beach and read it, right? Like that type right. of feeling, like I'm going to do this for a leisurely activity, not for a purpose like having a podcast. So it's been an effort, and I'm juggling a bunch of other things, including running a large company and starting a new venture. Having the podcast, having Refuel. So I find it challenging to find time for that leisurely, content absorption, for lack of better words, and reading and listening to other things I would normally have done.
So Joe, tell me about the apps. No, I'm just kidding.
you cannot ask me that question. Yeah.
First off, let's give some context to the business, because the listener right now is going, so wow, 10,000, like not almost there is that that is the venture that you, and it's not even the venture that you just alluded to. Can you talk about the balance that you've got going on? Because I mean, obviously the content balance, and one of the things that just as a sidebar that I've done with my own content absorption is, I used to ask for physical books for every single person, not just as a qualifier, but I could see it. And now I finally relented and got a Kindle Paperwhite, and I'm using Readwise, which is a fantastic tool. And I'm linking it to Obsidian, so that way the notes go in there. So that's, there you go. I'm telling you about the apps I use. But that way I don't, because sometimes it's that visual thing that I'm like, yeah. I have so many of these books to read. Whereas if it's like the Kindle is where all this stuff lives, I can go take it with me to, you know, here, there, or everywhere, right? So I've made some adjustments, and I think that you need to evolve, you know, especially if you want to maintain that sense of harmony and balance. So as you've been, you know, you added this podcast to the mix, as you've been kind of digging deeper into Not Almost There and this other venture that you're working on, like, what are all the things? Because, and then how do you make sure that all the things don't lose, which are your intentions, really, get the attention that they deserve?
Yeah, first of all, I think we're kindred spirits, because I was the same way. I have this like crazy office full of books, physical books. And I was like, man, it's really hard to take notes for these podcasts. So using Readwise, pushing it to Notion and Evernote just in case. And then I use that to make my notes on, but oh my God, that's been a game changer for me so far. And I think in the future, and then the Readwise daily email that they send out to summarize your highlights, I think is money too. So, mm-hmm. As far as setting time for certain things or figuring this out, my day is not, I'm not on a regimented schedule like you or many of your guests are. And that's because each day is a little bit different. And that's okay for my life right now. And I say that because I am on the executive team of a public company. I am running a, created a podcast, created a big conference called Refuel. The same time, as I mentioned, I'm a father. And then also I'm creating a new venture. And by the time this comes out, Go Brewing, the first non-alcoholic brewery in Illinois will exist. And hopefully it'll be right around our grand opening. And managing all of those things requires flexibility, and it requires me having a baseline in the morning that I tackle and I make sure is a regimented, there's no deviating from it. And that's a 5:30 a.m. workout with my wife until 7-ish. And then that gives me a half hour to catch up on things. And then I take my daughter and son to school and I come back home and I start my day. And typically that day starts with my CEO role and my role at Dealer Inspire, which now we have 800 employees. So I manage all of that. I try and play a bit of offense there. And then depending on the day, I'll have obligations here and there for my other things that I'm working on. And then later at night, I pick up where I left off. But it's, you know, every day is a little bit different. I say that because I find any sort of downtime that I have, and this term multitasking I know is taboo, but I think multitasking with a purpose is meaningful. Like if you can do something mundane at the same time learn, like driving in a car, listen to a podcast, listen to an audiobook. If you're doing chores, or I'm not doing chores anymore, I give chores to my kids, but if I'm doing like tasks around the house, the same thing will apply. So it's making the best of these moments that you have to learn and to read up on your guests and your contents. Like certainly if I had a block of time every day, that time would be tough because again, I need that flexibility in my life right now.
Yeah, your days are dynamic. By the way, I'm really trying to kill the term multitasking, not because I don't think that it happens. I prefer tandem tasking because it just sounds cleaner. It just like if you're on,
it's not taboo then.
Right. If you're on a spin bike and you're listening to an audio, you're tandem tasking. You're doing two things. Because I think, and again, with multitasking, because let's face it, I mean, businesses and I mean, if you've read Greg McKeown's Essentialism, you know that the word priorities has been bastardized and corrupted over the years, right? The word priority is not what you think it is, just like inbox zero isn't what you think it is necessarily. So if you can, but we all know that these things exist. So instead of trying to abolish them outright, like what if you, because we know with multitasking, if you divide your attention up amongst several things, the percentage of attention is appropriately distributed. If you tandem task, then it's like, okay, well, it's generally 50-50, right? You're splitting. So, I mean, when I'm when I go for a walk, I'm going to listen to a podcast. That's tandem tasking. I got my walk in and I got to learn along the way, right? So and I can actually on Drafts, because man, I'm telling you all my apps, Drafts app on my phone, I can actually write when I'm going for a walk. So that would be a form of, so I think if we, let's get that word into the zeitgeist a bit more, because then all of a sudden people are like, oh, I'm just tandem tasking. It's fine.
I love that because when I say multitasking, people are like, what? You're multitasking. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not paying attention to two different things.
Right.
I am doing this task that is not requiring a lot of thinking, and I'm focusing my effort, my brain power on something else.
Yeah. The basal ganglia is taking care of the one that you've done, the mundane, like I'm driving. I mean, we all know that, you know, driving is a project essentially when you're learning it, but once you've done it often enough, it's just, you get in the car and go. So what can you do while you're doing that? And the brain does stuff in the background anyway. Like most of that episode of Rich Roll's podcast that I was listening to with Ryan Holiday, I was driving. Like I was in the car or I was doing something else. I wasn't sitting and actively, you know, that's the way I think. I mean, because, time moves on whether we want it to or not. So we got to leverage it in whatever way we can. Before we wrap up, I want to just touch on the future of Not Almost There, which is interesting because you're not almost at the future yet, clearly, with the way that it is. What would you like to see happen? And what are some of the intentions you're setting to get that, for that brand or for that initiative that you've got out there? Because you do have a lot going on. And I think that you know, I've got the shirt. Yeah, I mean, you sent me a shirt after I was on the podcast. I wear it. It's in my regular rotation. And I think that it's something that more people need to understand is like, look, if you start, if it's just there, then it's like, all right, well, I guess I'm done now. But if you have that, that mindset and of, look, I've still got a ways to go. There's power in that as long as you, you know, understand how you're going to use that power and you're responsible with it.
Yeah, that's so right on. So I would say that it's kind of funny, Mike, when I started the podcast this year, my goal was just to create one podcast a week and have guests and be a funnel for information from my guests to my audience. And that audience was an audience of zero and then has grown over time. But I'd say going into season two, and we will be in season two by the time this comes out, I don't have any big, I'm not doing this to monetize it. I'm not doing it for any sort of other reason than just to take 1 week at a time. And, you know, hopefully I'll have more in the bank as you certainly have done a great job producing and finding a flow of your show. Mine is, I'm just taking it week by week. I mean, certainly I try and get ahead of our schedule a bit, and I want to do a better job next year, but I want to continue to build this, and just see where it takes me, because I will tell you what, this year I've learned so much about the art of having conversations. I've learned so much about the importance of focusing less on the quality of like cameras everywhere and the production, and more about having meaningful content that people can get a lot out of and focusing on the audience and not myself. And also, it's really kind of led me down this path of what is my why? Like I struggled when I sold the businesses to figure out what that was. And I knew that the secret I found in life was giving back made me feel the best. And that's what Refuel did. And that's what this podcast does. And that led me to this venture that I alluded to just a minute ago of Go Brewing. I created this event called Go, which was an offshoot of Refuel, which focused on action plus inspiration. So people had to start the day with a 5K run, and then they got to hear from Rich Roll. Then they had to do jujitsu and self-defense training. They got to hear from Jordan Burroughs. And it was just this unique event. And it was called Go. And Go has just been this word that's been in my mind for the last decade for whatever reason. It has a lot of great connotations to it, right? And when I thought about what has helped me in my life physically, it was reducing alcohol consumption and not necessarily teetotaling, but saying, okay, if I like the ritual of having a beer, why don't I switch that out with a non-alcoholic beer? And bringing that education and a good product to other people really started to resonate with me to say, man, I have an opportunity to help people change their lives in a physical way, not just by talking to them, but by giving them an opportunity to take action that was a little bit different and changing up their routine. And I'll say that just following the course of these weeks, not even thinking about it, just by letting it be. I know that may sound cliche, but like, I'm just letting it be. Like I'll have a conversation and all of a sudden I ended up at Jim Quick's house yesterday, which this is October of 2021. I end up at Jim Quick's house. I'm like, how am I even here? Well,
yeah, it's stunning. And if you go in with... So it's, you know, it's funny. Yesterday, so this is again in October, I went and had a lunch with someone who I thought initially was like, I want help with my productivity. Turns out they want to build an app and they wanted to talk to somebody who knew a little bit about it. And that's something I've been thinking about for a while. But it's been, and again, sometimes things take the time they take. And if you let it be, all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, maybe now this is the time. And maybe not. But that's the great thing is we just had a conversation. We had lunch. We ate sushi. We chatted about it. I said, you know, here's some of my stuff. Take a look at it. And we're tabling it till the beginning of 2022. So again, by the time you listen to this, we might be in some form of development. But yeah, I think we tend to not act with this self-empathy or grace around some of this stuff. We're like, we got to get this done because if we don't get it done, then it's not going to happen. But like you say, the journey is the thing. If we pay attention a bit more to the journey, sometimes the outcomes that we get along the way are things that we didn't really think were going to happen at all, let alone at those moments in time, right? Like your non-alcoholic brewing company, which, by the way, we've chatted briefly about beer before because I'm a beer fan mm-hmm. too. I am not a teetotaler at all, but I've come up with I want to be either a two-totaler or a three-totaler.
Right.
So that's the rule. It depends on the time of year. And then I will switch to that. But we don't have – and this is an interesting thing because I've – you know, and I know we'll go down a bit of a rabbit hole before we wrap up. But I've seen in – especially in the States, the rise of non-alcoholic breweries, like, and the rise of temperance with beer and with cocktails and things like that. This idea of let's not have – we just want the social aspect of it. We don't want to be the people that, oh, we're going to go for a, you know, we're all going out to the pub. Someone's got to drive, or I've got something right. big tomorrow morning. How do I do this? Well, you can have a Coke or you can have a water or something like that. No, I want to have not. And I don't want to just have an O'Doul's or like some other crappy non-alcoholic.
With the same beer. Social experience.
Right. Yep. And O'Doul's will now no longer ever sponsor the Productive Conversation podcast, but that's okay because we have some up here, but we don't, where I live in Victoria, we have so many breweries and not a single one does a non-alcoholic beer.
Same here.
And it's so, to me, I don't know enough about it. You probably know more about it. You would know more about it now. You're starting. But to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't seem like it would be a hard thing for a brewery making beer to go, maybe we should make one that doesn't have, like, that's, you know, quote, alcohol-free. Because I've seen some sessions that are coming out at 3%. I'm like, well, you've got a table beer at 3% here, which is, you know, a table beer in Canada. I don't know what the levels are for table yeah. beers in India. Yeah. But, like, to me, it doesn't seem like it would be a hard thing to accomplish, but there's no intention to do it. Maybe there's no, for them, it's like, well, who's going to buy it? But we're seeing a rise in that, which is why you're going down that path, right?
Yeah, I think you'll see more and more breweries doing it for sure. But that's, it's one of these things that it's not about abstinence. It's about just habitual drinking and just mm-hmm. putting something else in your hand that's a little healthier, a little less bad for you. But it's, you know, like yesterday as an example, I had a craving for a draft beer. Like I love that experience of pouring beer in a glass or having a draft beer and yep. to have the product taste very similar and not have the side effects of a hangover, loss of productivity, the safety issues you can have while driving and the myriad of other things is just so critical and huge that, and it's there. So I think the opportunity lies with building a brand and focusing on it. So we're known for it because you're never going to go to, even Heineken has a great Heineken Zero, but you're never going to think of Heineken and associate that.
No, it's great. And the reason that I like that one to a degree is because there's also the social aspect of people who see you drinking a non-alcoholic beer. Mm-hmm. There's still that stigma around it, right? Where what Heineken's done, Beck's did it too, although Beck's is not nearly as good, is you can hold a Heineken 0.0. Most people go, oh, he's just drinking a Heineken, right? Or they're just drinking a Heineken, but I think that's going away. I think the people who want to drink non-alcoholic beers are going, I don't give a crap if you're looking at me drinking, you know, an athletic. Because right. Athletic Brewing is the one that's in the States that we can't get up here. We have one called Partake that's up here.
Yeah.
It's quite good. But yeah, to get one that's as close as you can get to that experience. Because, I mean, you and I are beer nerds, so we're going to be even more critical of, you know. of what it tastes like, and you can't fool the palate, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, product is vital, and we need to get that right before anything else. But yeah, Athletic is the fastest growing brewery for the last 2 years, period, non-alcoholic and alcoholic
wow.
in the U.S. So it's there's a market there for sure, and my thing is to figure out how do you get non-alcoholic beer in kegs and serve it at restaurants so you can have the same experience as someone drinking a regular beer.
I'm excited to see what how this turns out. And moreover, as we're in 2022 at this point, I've already taken one trip to the States as of this recording. I'm looking forward to getting to the States and having a beer with you. I've never been to Chicago. It's one of those cities it's one of the few American cities that I haven't been to that's on my bucket list that I still haven't gone to. So we're going to have to get down there and we'll have a beer and then we'll have a go. It's a go. Go beer. Is it going to be called a go? It's Go Brewing, right?
Go Brewing. Yeah. And there'll be a variety of beers in our skews. Yeah.
We'll have to share a pint of one of those as well. Joe,
yeah.
Thanks so much for having a productive conversation with me today. Where can people keep up with you and your work?
You can go to anonymousthere.com. You can follow Anonymous There on Instagram. My personal Instagram is Jay Chura. I'm everywhere on social media, so feel free to reach out.
Again, Joe, this has been awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Big thanks to Joe for joining me on the show today. Always a big thanks when guests join me. If you want to make sure that you catch everything that we talked about, the links, everything that you want to do and follow to keep up with Joe, just head to productivityist.com/podcast414. And if you want to support the sponsors of this program, the ones you heard during our conversation, and help support the show in the process, go to productivityist.com/podcast sponsors to make that happen. You also want to support the show by subscribing to the show. If you enjoyed what you're listening to today, I highly encourage you to do that. We've got a lot of great episodes coming down the pike, including my conversation next time with Ian Morgan Cromwell. We finally figure out what number I am on the Enneagram spectrum. I'm looking forward to that. And I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Just hit that subscribe button. That way you can make sure you get that episode delivered to you, lickety split. And you can also find all of our past episodes quickly and easily in our archives. That's it for now. Until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive. See you later.